This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Drug wholesalers sent 780 million hydrocodone and oxycodone pills into West Virginia over 6 years, according to an investigation by the Charleston Gazette Mail. Meanwhile, more than 1,700 West Virginians died from overdoses of these two powerful painkillers. Investigative reporter Eric Ayer of the Charleston Gazette-Mail says state regulators and drug wholesalers failed in their legal duties to protect patients. Ayer spoke with our Front Porch podcast hosts, Lori Lynn and Scott Finn.
I was surprised that some of the smallest pharmacies had the biggest numbers. That was probably one of the biggest surprises. You had a situation in Kermit, which has a population of less than 400 people, and over 2 years, they had nearly 9 million hydrocodone pills.
It's astonishing. Shouldn't somebody have known? The drug wholesalers, who are these people?
Drug wholesalers are the ones that actually ship the pills directly from the manufacturer to the pharmacies or the hospitals. The big three, Cardinal Health, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen, they're all giant corporations. McKesson is the largest, one of the largest companies in the United States, actually. I think all three of them combined are bigger than Walmart.
And they're sending literally millions of these pills into West Virginia. So is there anything that the drug companies did that could be seen as illegal?
Yeah, they have a legal obligation to report these so-called suspicious orders to the DEA. That's a federal law, and we also have our state law is almost a carbon copy of that.
These companies weren't shipping Kit Kats to sit there, you know, in a store. They're filling orders placed by pharmacies that are licensed and regulated by the state, that are filling prescriptions written by doctors who are licensed and regulated by the state. So there's a pharmacy board. Where does that figure in? What was their role in overseeing all of this?
They're supposed to regulate the pharmacies. They're made up of pharmacists, so it's pharmacists regulating other pharmacists. Those suspicious reports are supposed to go directly to the pharmacy board, but for years, for more than a decade, they didn't receive them. And then at one point, they did start receiving the suspicious order reports after a lawsuit was filed against the wholesalers. And then we learned that the Board of Pharmacy never enforced the rules anyway.
Didn't they just take these faxes, these reams and reams of faxes, and box them away?
Yeah, they box them away. They put them on a shelf. I actually went in there and I asked them, I said, since 2012, how many of these suspicious order reports do you have? And he said, I have no clue. They're all in a box, two big boxes. And I actually had to do a hand count, literally page by page.
So when you asked the executive director, what were you doing with all these faxes, these hundreds of pages of suspicious reports of drugs being sent to Southern West Virginia? Why didn't you pass it on to the law enforcement? Why didn't you bring it up in a board meeting? What did they say?
Well, good question, because again, they did nothing. But he said that the law does not prescribe what they're supposed to do with a suspicious report, just only that they're supposed to be filed. So there's nothing that tells you what your next step is. So
can I just say how bureaucratic that sounds?
That's absurd.
That's absurd.
Yeah, well, after I went in and had the boxes pulled and did the count, they did have a meeting. They said they were going to start taking these seriously. There's talk about forwarding them to the Attorney General's office and or the state police. And they're also sending out letters to all wholesalers telling them that they need to submit these suspicious reports. You know, you have AmerisourceBergen, which is the third largest distributor in the country. They haven't filed a single report. And there was one company that filed one.
So there's no consistency anyway.
There's no consistency. And they said that during the meeting.
Let's get back to the wholesalers. When you asked them, didn't you know that you were poisoning these people in West Virginia? What do they say?
They say every time, over and over, they talk about the doctors and the pharmacies, and they don't say anything about their role, but they say that these are licensed, and they're correct. These are licensed pharmacies. These are licensed doctors. And the responsibility should be with the license, the boards that license those two groups.
Based on their behavior, do you think they knew exactly what was happening?
Obviously, they have their sales orders. Let's take Wyoming County. You have in Oceana, one pharmacy, I think it's called Westside Pharmacy, that's getting 600,000, 700,000 OxyContin pills per year. The Rite Aid, six blocks away, gets 6,000.
That's Eric Ayer, reporter for the Charleston Gazette-Mail, talking about his investigation into opioid shipments on our podcast, The Front Porch. Find the entire podcast and links to Ayer's investigation on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:49. Partly sunny skies today, temperatures in the 40s and low 50s, a chance of rain tonight with lows in the 30s and low 40s. And there's a chance of rain throughout the weekend, daytime highs in the 40s and low 50s, with overnight lows in the upper 30s and 40s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided in celebration today of David Taft's 59th birthday from his loving wife, Robin.
With only 2 days left until Christmas, how many of you are still out looking for that one final gift? Well, there's lots of ways to find that last present, big superstores, malls, or online. But what about shopping locally? Liz McCormick reports small local businesses employ nearly half of all West Virginia workers.
Okay.
Hey, man.
Milk chocolate truffles?
Yes, sir.
Which ones would you like to get?
A couple amarettos.
Here at DeFleury's Fine Chocolates in Martinsburg, a line of people look eagerly through a large glass candy case at the back of the store.
The milk chocolate pretzels are my favorite.
That's Shepherdstown resident Tammy Kirshner.
But my dad likes the chocolate-covered cherries, and so instead of buying him the cheap, nasty box for $3 at the grocery store, I come here and get him these.
Quality is what DeFleury's co-owner Brenda Casabona says helps her small business compete with the mass market like Hershey's or Nestle.
People that want a better product and they realize that a better product entails a higher cost in general on a food product because of the quality of your ingredients. So that would be our target market, people that really do want a quality product.
Brenda and Charlie Casabona opened DeFleury's Fine Chocolates in downtown Martinsburg in 1998. Charlie says part of the attraction of shopping locally at a small business is the customer service and the ability to personalize products.
As we get closer to Christmas, people come in and they pick every box. And the full-service candy case is what they come in for.
Here in the showroom, Charlie points to the case and lists off a number of candies to choose from.
Caramels, pecan caramel clusters, chocolate-covered candied orange peel, ginger root.
And through a door in the back is DeFleury's own chocolate factory. It's one massive 12,000-square-foot room with machines that swirl the chocolate, conveyor belts that cover the various candies with chocolate, and even an antique foil wrapping machine. That's the sound of warm milk chocolate moving through a rotation machine, keeping the chocolate in a liquid state. But chocolate isn't the only thing DeFleury's makes here.
We make creams the old-fashioned way that are cooked so they're very soft and flowy. Jellies, nut clusters, authentic butter crunch. There's 17 flavors of truffles in the case.
Charlie and Brenda say making and selling chocolate takes a lot of work, but it's always worth it in the end when they see how much people love their product. But shopping locally at a small business like DeFleury's has more impact than just choice and quality. Small businesses actually make up a large portion of employers in West Virginia. In fact, the West Virginia Small Business Administration, or SBA, says there are over 100,000 small businesses in the Mountain State, making up 95.6% of the state's employers and 50.5% of West Virginia's workforce. Randy Lewis is the executive director of Main Street Martinsburg, which is part of a statewide initiative called Main Street West Virginia that tries to encourage people to shop more locally and revitalize communities. He says shopping local, especially during the holidays, really makes a difference.
It makes our community a sense of pride giving back because you are supporting local jobs as well as showing support for them. So we need to keep that local economy local.
Lewis says small businesses help make West Virginia towns a destination. And being a destination often means bolstering the local economy. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
Over the course of nearly half a century, NRBQ, which stands for New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, has earned the distinction of being one of the most finely tuned bands in America with plenty of swing. Here they are with Waitin' on My Sweetie Pie on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Every morning when the moon go down and there ain't nobody else around, I shuffle over to the edge of town, waiting on my sweetie pie. A locomotion that rides at dawn, that's the one my baby riding on. She'll be coming over for too long, so I'm waiting on my sweetie pie. Away, oh, away, oh.
That was the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet with Waitin' on My Sweetie Pie. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, Carol Lofton, and Ann Lee. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.